I believe spirit is always available to us. It speaks and takes a form in the way that we can receive. The guides sort of choose us. They want to be in relationship with us. What is speaking to you? Who wants to speak to you? How we tap into that energy.
Hello and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Yandara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Yandara Yoga Institute located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge shared through authentic, heartfelt communication will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in. Hello, welcome back to Curious Ones podcast by Yandara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, and I have a special soul guest today. Today, I have Nicole Knutzman, soul guide, transformation and integration coach, cacao and plant medicine journey guide, and Reiki and shamanic practitioner. Nicole and I met at Yandara about a year ago, and finally we get a chance to have this conversation. I'm so happy to have you here, Nicole.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for having me. It was such a beautiful connection that we had. It was a beautiful week that I was there. So thank you. Thank you for that connection, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you for being here. And it's so interesting because we just happened to sit at a table next to each other and started speaking, and then this happened, and it just shows how when you're open and willing to meet people, the right people come into your path.
Absolutely. I call them magical synchronicities. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, when you're just open and curious and allowing, and the most magical moments and people, you know, show up for
exactly.
us.
So, yeah. So if your journey was anything similar to mine, it was full of synchronicities and chance opportunities. And I would just love to hear a little bit of how you started with this work. Where did it come from? Where did this calling come from? And how did it develop?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, it's been an interesting journey. I started out in the corporate world. I was in educational publishing for about 18 years and came to a place where I just was feeling so burned out. I had lost really connection to my soul, to the essence of who I am. And was really wanting that reconnection. And so I left and then was trying a few different things, you know, as we do. And then suddenly had this call because I got very clear about my intention. I wanted to do, you know, find the work that would feed my soul and also reconnect back with my joy. And I actually got literally called by the spirit of cacao. And many of us in that community find, you know, she finds us, you know, we call her cacao a she because she has a very feminine energy and spirit, very loving and compassionate. And she just reaches out and she finds you in the strangest, wildest, most wonderful ways. And she did that for me. It was just a true, you know, connection and calling.
Can you tell us about that?
I was up in the Redwoods in Northern California at a cabin with my ex-husband and my stepson, who at the time was probably about 5 years old. And we decided to watch a movie that I'd seen many, many, many times before. And you may know of it. It's called Chocolat. And it's with Johnny Depp and Juliette Binoche. It's a beautiful, you know, magical realism, you know, sort of movie, and I'd seen it before, but this time I was watching it, I think, with different eyes, I like to say, with sort of magical eyes. And there's a scene in the movie, and she's sharing this story with her daughter, who wanted to know how her grandparents met. And her grandfather was a pharmacist, and he was sent down to Central America to work with plants. And the next scene in the movie is of him sitting around this fire, being handed a cup of cacao by this beautiful Mayan woman. And they're in ceremony, clearly, and he drinks this cacao. And they say that sort of cacao sort of releases or reveals your destiny and reconnects you to your heart's desires. And I didn't remember seeing this scene before. And it was as if the cacao spirit just reached out from the movie and grabbed my heart. And I went, oh, what is that? Wow. And I, you know, the next morning I Googled cacao ceremony and I found this man in Guatemala, you know, so this was in 2010. And I saw this man, found this man in Guatemala, and that was called the Chocolate Shaman. And he was an American who had moved there and had been called by the cacao spirit. And he started researching cacao. He was traveling through Mexico and Central America and finally landed in Lake Atitlan, San Marcos, and started, you know, working with cacao. And then people started to notice that he was different when he'd made this cacao drink. And so he started inviting people to sit with him in what he called ceremony. And so I was like, when am I going to get to Guatemala? And I thought I couldn't conceive of that. So I sort of, you know, put that in the back of my mind. And then I signed up, I was working at the time at a nonprofit, and signed up to train as a chocolatier, or as a chocolatier, as they say it here in the US, so that I could learn all about cacao and chocolate and the history and how to work with it. And so that's how it all began, was through this, you know, just move, this movie reaching out to me. And then I immediately started to just dive into that world, and had to wait, you know, several years before I found a teacher. She was a plant medicine teacher, and she actually lived in Scotland, of all places, and worked with everything, you know, every possible plant medicine, including the psychedelics and cacao. And then she sent me a little package, you know, she sent all of her students a little package to begin. And in it was a bar of cacao from this man. His name is Keith Wilson, in Guatemala. And I realized, oh my gosh, I don't have to go to Guatemala. Guatemala, you know, came to me, right? The cacao spirit was just, she knew where I was. And she was like, here you go. Here's the cacao that I want you to work with. And I had the, you know, deepest experience with cacao, in my first experience, you know, and it was in personal ceremony, guided by my teacher. Like, she sent us guided meditations and music, but everything was done, you know, just she sent it to us, and then we were able to do our own self-guided journey. So my first experience with cacao was absolutely profound.
What was so profound about it?
Yeah, I mean, she, I was broken open. Like, I cried for the first hour in ceremony, because I just realized how closed down my heart was from protection, right? We guard ourselves, we armor ourselves. And I had been carrying such a burden for so long. And she just is like, I'm going to help you release all of this. So I cried for about an hour. At the end, I was so exhausted. I just fell over and was like in fetal position on the floor. And then I felt her presence. And I was like, wow, I feel you. Like, I felt her loving presence. And I actually, and this might sound a little, you know, crazy to some people, but I invited her into my lap, right? as the empath that I am, oh, come sit in my lap. And I said, you must be so tired helping all these people. And we just held each other. And then I felt her sort of entering my body. And I felt the most unconditional love I've ever experienced in my life. And I also felt my heart getting like really tight. And so I said to her, and I tend to do this with plant spirits and animal spirits, any of my spiritual guys, I have these like sort of conversations. I'm very open to having conversations with them. And I said, why are you holding on so tight to my heart? And she said, I'm not the one holding on. And I went, oh. And she said, I will always be with you. You don't have to hold on. I am always there. And it was such a message for me that she, you know, is always available to me, that connection, right, to spirit is always available to me. So I was able to let go and then still feel her presence, but also know that she was within me, but also, you know, accessible to me, you know, just to call her in whenever I needed her presence. So it was profound. And at the same time, I also had a tremendous connection to the jaguar spirit, who became one of my spirit guides and has always been there for me from that very moment of working with her, because, you know, there are, you know, it really led me, and this is what cacao does, is as you work with her and as she opens you up, is she starts to guide you. And synchronicities show up. My dreams became so powerful and so profound. I got equally as many messages in my dream time as I did in ceremony. And then just the magical synchronicities that showed up in life to guide me. And so I felt very guided to work with her as a plant medicine and to train in shamanic practices. She also guided me to become a Reiki practitioner, which I had never experienced Reiki before. And I just received this message, go get attuned in Reiki, go learn how to play, you know, a shamanic drum, follow this work, you know, in the dream, with the dream time. And so I just started following all of those slender threads.
When you received it, you received the message. How did that come to you? How did you know that it was a message from your guides? Or how did you know that that's something that you need to explore?
Because it was never anything I would say to myself. It always seemed so, first of all, it was loving and compassionate. The voice was different, you know, which was also part of the lesson, because for me, cacao became a teacher. She became a healer and a guide. So the way she spoke to me was just so loving, so compassionate. And so I knew the voice was different than, you know, the way that I sometimes spoke to myself, or that anyone else had ever spoken to me. And also she allowed me to work with my inner voices so that the critic could, you know, lessen and go away, because that's not a voice that I wanted to continue to speak to myself with. So she really, you know, taught me how to decipher and be discriminating about the different voices that were, you know, trying to communicate with me. And so she would, you know, this message would just come to me, you know, either intuitively or in a journey. And I would just listen. I just knew to listen, because it was guiding me in a way that I, you know, just had to trust, you know. And that's one of the other, you know, really teachings, is about learning how to trust our inner knowing, to trust the guidance that's there for us always, to trust our intuition, to trust our body's wisdom. You know, all of those things are what she teaches us, because she's so many different medicines. She is heart medicine, right? She allows us to access our heart space and open it more fully. She is soul medicine. She really like speaks deeply to what is it that our soul needs and wants, and how do we nourish it? She's embodiment medicine. Like, how do we integrate and live into the messages, right? Because it's so easy not to, right? It's so easy. Oh yeah, yeah, I got the message. But to actually live into it and embody it is part of the path with cacao. And then she's spirit medicine.
And taking action according to what we and receive.
Exactly. Listening and then actually acting on it.
Yeah.
And then spirit medicine, connecting us to other realms, right? Where we can receive all of this support, this loving support and the messages and the wisdom and the guidance to help us, you know, on our path.
So. Mm. There are so many beautiful things that you said there. I think something I would love to frame is going to the beginning of the story, you just watching a movie that you've already seen before, seeing a scene that you probably have already seen, and yet watching it in different eyes, feeling this call, because I think that, as you mentioned, this voice or this call or this drive that we have or calling or pulling towards something usually is very subtle, and we can so easily miss it or even dismiss it.
Yeah.
That I think that's something that I would love to frame, that because it was just a curiosity that came up to you and you just typed on Google the next day, what is this cacao ceremony, and the huge journey that it took you on was just that moment of following the curiosity, which I wanted to.
Absolutely.
And and also I love that you spoke about this trust, because so many times I find that that's a block for many of us, that maybe we hear the voice, we've heard it before, but between that and trusting that voice, there is a distance. So would love to hear you speak about that. How did you learn to trust this voice and let go of the blocks or the fears that stopped you from following it? And also, I know that you guide others in doing that. So speaking a bit about how you do that as well.
Of course. Yeah, trust is something that I had to relearn or remember. I think we all have it, but we learn to distrust life, right? And because we lay expectations on it, that it has to look a certain way or be a certain way, or there has to be a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. And so what I started noticing when I was working with cacao, and this was, you know, I worked with her in personal ceremony, so went very deep. But then I also, you can bring her into your daily practice, you know, whatever that is, whether it's meditation or, some people love to bring it into before a yoga practice or breath work, any practice, she enhances and deepens the practice. Mm. And also, you know, she's teaching you to listen to the subtle signs, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
First to listen to your body, to trust your body. Right. So I always say to people, when you drink your cacao, take one sip and then pause. And your body will actually tell you how much it wants that day. Right. And sometimes people are like, oh my God, I want to pour this cup over my head and I just want to take a bath in cacao. I'm like, you're good. You go ahead and drink as much as you want. Some people are like, I want to go slow. And other people are like, that one sip was enough. And I'm like, that is teaching us to remember to trust and listen to our bodies.
Yeah.
Which we're so good at not listening, right? Mm. So that's one of the places, is we just to start to listen to the subtle signs and cues from our bodies, you know, wisdom. And then you feel like you're supported when you're working with her in a practice, like she's, you feel sort of like you're in her embrace, like she's holding you so that you can be more open, be more curious. It's like having someone by your side, right? So it's easier to sort of take those leaps of faith. It's easier to, you know, to trust, right? Because you feel like someone's there, and supporting you, guiding you, allowing you to take that next step. And I, you know, I sort of, she just opens up the subtle realms to you. So your intuition does get stronger, even though it's, you know, still subtle. So the messages seem to get a little bit stronger, louder. You know, perhaps there's, you know, from the, they go from the subtle to a, you know, just a little bit more, so that you can actually listen and receive and act on them. And so you learn to trust. And what I also did was sort of, I would kind of test it. Like I would get a intuitive message, and I'm like, I don't know. And then I'm like, go, just try it. Mm-hmm. just allow yourself to see. And it was not something that was like a big risk or anything, you know, but it was like, just listen to what your intuition is telling you, even though it sounds a little, you know, not rational, or, you know, a little illogical or whatever that, it, you know, whatever. And so I would just follow it, and it would prove itself to be true, which meant, oh, I can trust in that. So I'm going to just, it just allowed me to, through like testing and exploration, to see that it was true. Mm. And that allowed me to go deeper and deeper and deeper, you know. And as we do that, you just become so much more aware of what's available to you, and to be able to follow that guidance. So
yeah. Beautiful. I find that from my experience as well. The more I trust that voice and see that it takes me to the right places, the easier it is to trust it. And it is funny, because usually it's not the thing that makes sense. It's the thing that,
right.
Like, doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the other sign, is like to know that it's intuitive. It's like, this doesn't make any sense, right? But I'm going to follow it anyway and see where it leads me, right? And and that's where the synchronicities, you know, then also show up. And you just get, it's almost like this, you get into like this flow of, you follow the first one and it leads you to the next. And also to, you know, there's like just so much discernment that you build around trust. So like you might meet a person and say, oh, you know, they're the person that I should be working with. And then, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're the person that's leading you to the person you should be working with. Mm. Right. So to always be in that place of trust, but also discernment. Right. So is this, you know, is this person, this place, whatever's presenting itself, fully aligned, or is it simply part of the path that's, you know, taking me to that place or person that's more fully aligned?
Yeah.
And to being able to let go of attachment, right, to our expectations, to our desires of wanting, you know, this person or this thing. And to let go of the, you know, the outcome, and just allow ourselves to be more, you know, in a receptive, open, curious place.
So does that mean not immediately assigning a role to the person? This is my next partner, or my next, you know, professional endeavor, but just allowing it to kind of unfold. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. And again, to bring that discernment in is so important. So let's say you're calling in a partner, right? Whether it's a business partner or, you know, a romantic partner, you're calling them in, and someone shows up and you're like, oh, I think they're it, right? But sometimes I feel like spirit is sort of not testing us, but saying, I think I know what you want. And so here I'm going to present you with this, you know, with this person, and they're about 80% of what you're actually asking for. And so we then need to have the discernment to say, that's almost it, but not quite. And then all of a sudden I say to spirit, you know, thank you for bringing this person to me. That's almost it, but not quite it. I'm also looking for this, you know? And so, you know, I feel like we have this, we can have this ongoing like dialogue or conversation with spirit where, cause she's, you know, she's trying to, bring us what we most desire, but sometimes we're not always fully clear about what the qualities of that person, or, you know, that maybe we're sending a mixed message, right? So she's like, oh, here, I think this is what you want. And then you, through your discernment, you say, that's not quite it, right? And then that person might lead you to, you know, the next person or opportunity.
Yeah. So, is that something that we learn with practice or with experience? We see, we call in a person and then we see, oh wait, I need this, or I don't need that, or I don't enjoy this aspect of it, or is it that, is there a way that we can find this clarity before we call in this person so that the one that comes in is the right one?
I think it's both. You know, sometimes the experience gives us the clarity, and other times, you know, we can just be more, perhaps, you know, patient and wait for the clarity, right? Mm. And do all our practices and just be in that place of allowing and having like a dialogue. You know, setting our intentions, having a dialogue with spirit and saying, you know, I am getting clearer on, you know, this person or this opportunity. And so to just then be in that place of allowing and waiting. Yeah. Beautiful.
Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra, to breath and meditation, as well as 200 or 300 hour yoga teacher trainings, and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode. So when you speak of spirit and guides, it's something that I have been very, very, very curious about lately. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of watching videos and reading about it because I feel that there is something around us that communicates with us, that we can communicate with, that we can ask questions, that we receive answers to, that we can ask for guidance for things happening in our lives, and also ask for help. And I've been very curious about how do you tune those abilities, because I think, you know, we all know the classic example of I'm looking at my phone and it's exactly the person that I'm thinking about wrote me a message or just called me or something like that. And that's something that happens to many of us.
Yeah.
And then I think there's more subtle, and I mean, it becomes more and more subtle, obviously. I would love to hear about your experience with spirits and guides, how you view them, who are they, where do they come from, how can we speak with them? I would love to hear from you about it.
I believe, you know, each of us, you know, can communicate in, you know, in different ways, that the guides sort of choose us, right? They're always available, and they choose us because some people, you know, connect to the angelic realm, or some people, if we're on a shamanic path, we tend to connect with the ancestors or spirit animal guides, which are really predominantly, you know, what I connect with, and also plant spirits, right? But that's a shamanic path. People connect, you know, to Mother Mary or Mother Magdalene, I mean, to archangels like Archangel Michael. So I believe spirit is always available to us, and then it speaks and takes a form in the way that we can receive, right? So it's just finding, right? Like, for what speaks to me may not speak to you or to someone else, right? So finding what does, right? And opening, because you're going to be in a more of a place of trust if they're, you know, if they're taking a form that you can relate to, right? And it's just, at the end of the day, I believe it's really, it's all energy, right? And it's really just how we tap into that energy, which is why, you know, things show up for us magically when we open to it, right? If we stay closed and we don't believe, of course it's not going to show up. Unless, you know, sometimes, well, there can be, you know, times where it's just like this huge, you know, epiphany and sudden revelation, right? But it usually doesn't show up that way. It's usually much more subtle, right? So just noticing, like, what is speaking to you, right? And who wants to speak to you? And just, and then listening and trusting, because they want to be in relationship with us. So if we disconnect from them, then we're not building that relationship. So it's really just, you know, just allowing however the guidance wants to, you know, show up.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. So it shows up in a movie and calls you to research cacao.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the cacao practitioners that I work with, because I also train cacao practitioners, and many of them have, you know, amazing stories, like the stories of how cacao called them. And they're all so diverse and, you know, kind of, you know, crazy and wacky. And we love telling them because, you know, it just shows, right? Like I didn't ask for that. I didn't say I'm looking for the cacao spirit, right? I just said I'm looking for more joy and soul connection. And that's how she decided to show up for me. Mm. So to get really clear about our intention and then just open ourselves up to how, right, that might be answered.
Yes, I sometimes think that I get guidance through like Instagram posts or a YouTube video that I put on, and I find that it's so often exactly what I need to hear.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that too. I mean, it shows up in this material plane, right? It shows up and people will just, I mean, you'll just, I have so many stories about, you know, just putting an intention out there and then magically walking into a coffee shop and, you know, that person is there or they're connecting me to the right person. And so it's really beautiful. And then, you know, what's so important is growing that awareness, because we can walk right by it. You know, as you said earlier, we cannot see it. We can be too busy, you know, distracted, unfocused, but to just like walk around in almost like a constant state of receptivity so that you see it. Yeah. Because it's always there, right? It's always available to us.
Is there a way that's more direct or more helpful for us to reach out to these guides? Is there like a do's and don't do's?
I mean, there's certainly, depending on the pathway that you want to take, I mean, certainly a guided meditations. So if you're drawn to one realm over another, like let's say you're drawn to the angelic realm, then go online and find, there are meditations out there to connect, right, to that realm. If you're drawn more to like, you know, nature and spirit animals, then find guided meditations that are accessing that. And then there's the, you know, cacao is just so beautiful because it's so accessible as long as you're working with the right one. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that, but you know, cacao that is in its purest form allows you to feel that support, and it drops sort of, you know, the layers that are in the way, right, of us being able to receive. And so you just, that like just things show up and you get clarity or messages just through working with something like cacao. And then of course there are other plant medicines that, you know, are a deeper experience, but can also, right, open us up to those other realms and those other guides and that wisdom. So
So I'll bring you something that I've spoken about with two friends recently. I would love to hear your thoughts about it, even though I can I can imagine your direction. What would you say to the people who believe that taking something that is external is kind of like a shortcut, you know, or manipulating our state of being or consciousness in order to arrive at a certain experience? How do you see that?
There are so many pathways to awakening, and I honor them all, absolutely honor them all. And not everyone will, you know, benefit from nor be called, right, by, you know, these, you know, by plant medicine or by psychedelics. So for me, it's the sacred path is for people to feel called in some way. And for them, it's the right medicine or the right path in that moment. And many of my, you know, my clients have worked with other modalities, other healing modalities, other pathways, and have just found that they're making progress. And it's not that they're looking for a shortcut, because I won't serve those people, because they're not willing to do the work, right? If people are already doing the work, are already on their path, but they're still feeling stuck, you know, the way that I work with plant medicine, it is a healer, right? Plant medicine in particular has a consciousness. It is looking to connect with us with loving intention. And so it's not a shortcut by any means. If anything, it's just a glimpse, right? A bigger glimpse into what's possible. And then you still need to do the work. It's unavoidable, you know? So, you know, many of us in the plant medicine world that hold plant medicine with such integrity, you know, will not serve people who are looking for the peak experience or are, you know, called, you know, the psychonaut, or are just wanting to have, you know, wanting to sort of, you know, have it as an experience. It's like, no, this is a healing journey that we come in with intention. And there is so much work to be done after that, to integrate what's been seen, what's been received, what's been, you know, cleared. And particularly with plant medicine, what it allows is access to the subconscious and the unconscious mind. And other modalities, it takes a very long time, or it is actually almost impossible to reach that, right? So to be able to access that gives us just such insights. And also plant medicine works with our neural pathways. So all of the ingrained beliefs and patterns and conditioning that we have taken on have created a certain, you know, behavior. And if we want to change our behavior, right, the plant medicine supports us in being able to, what I call, smooth those neural pathways. So those patterns are, you know, you can create new ones. You can create new habits, new healthier habits, new healthier patterns. And you're supported by the plant medicine, right? But again, it's like, working with it, in the integration part is so important. So, you know, I always say to people, this is not a one and done. This is not a hack. This is not a quick fix. If it's done with intention and held as sacred, right? So, you know, set and setting that everybody has heard about is so important to it being a healing experience. Without that, it's just an experience. And nothing will change.
Yeah, not just drinking the cacao when you're on the way to errands or something like that.
No. Yeah, we teach that. We teach that in, you know, to our, you know, practitioners, that even with cacao, to be intentional. You know, and we all have the story. You know, I have one of my students said, wow, did I ever learn that lesson? You know, she said she was making cacao one day and she was rushing and she put it in the blender and she didn't put the top on properly and she ended up with cacao like all over her, her room. And then people will come to my cacao ceremonies and then they'll buy a block of cacao and I'll give them my recipe and they'll go home and make it. And then they'll say, Nicole, it didn't taste anything like yours and it didn't feel like yours. What did I do wrong? I said, well, what were you doing when you made the cacao? And they're like, what do you mean? I was just making it like I make my smoothie. I'm like, well, does your smoothie have much consciousness in it? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, well, you need to be fully present when you're making your cacao. I put on sacred music. I make sure that I am just, it's only me and cacao in the room, you know, kind of thing. And when I share that with people, then everything shifts for them. They're like, oh, wow, this is, it's a ritual.
Yeah.
It's sacred. I say, yes, 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 yes.
That moves me just to hear that.
Yeah. So it's like a dance of consciousness. So there's the consciousness of the plant medicine, but there's your own. So when we can come into relationship with, you know, with the energy of, you know, the plant medicine, then we receive so much more. And we're also infusing our own consciousness, you know, into it. So it becomes this beautiful, deep connection and relationship.
I think that's so profound because it really gives us a reminder that it is an energy, a spirit, and it will come into communion with us when we allow it the space and the intentionality and give it the setting that the spirit needs and that we need in order to allow this space to become.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. So you were speaking about integration and the work that we need to do. Okay, so we did the ceremony, we have had this glimpse and this expansion, which I really loved the way that you put it. Then what do we do? What is the work that we need to do, and how do we integrate what we experienced with our day-to-day life?
That's a beautiful question. I mean, integration is so important and yet often missed, right? Often not understood, because it isn't just what you receive in the ceremony itself. That's just like a sliver of what's, you know, really available to you. So first of all, the medicine isn't finished after the ceremony ends. It's continuing to work with you, whether it's cacao or whether it's, you know, other types of plant medicine. It's in your system, right? It's in your cellular structure, and it's continuing to work with you. So I've noticed with, you know, any of the medicines I've worked with is your dream time may become very suddenly very, like people will say, you know, usually I don't ever remember my dreams. And then suddenly they not only remember their dreams, they have very powerful dreams. So the dream time, because again, that's right, that's accessing our unconscious and it's raising things up for us to be able to look at. So I will say to people, notice your dreams, have a separate dream journal. Journaling about your experience after ceremony is so important. Capturing, or even taking, like some people are like, I don't really journal. Take a voice memo. Capture the essence of what you received, because there's so much there to continue to work with. And plant medicine tends to be, sometimes it can be very literal and direct, and other times it's much more like a dream, metaphorical, symbolic. Things show up as, you know, as images. There can be, you know, sort of messages that you sort of have to interpret and decode, right? So to be able to understand that that's just a living document that you can continue to work with to really understand and to more fully understand the message. And then continuing, I often say to people, there's a moment usually in ceremony with plant medicine where you may have done a lot of releasing, right? Tears or even, you know, laughter, or there are all sorts of physical ways of releasing, right? And that's releasing, making more space for what we actually want and allowing us to be able to receive. So being able to remember and call in a feeling, once you got through the release phase, you may have come to a place of inner peace or bliss or joy. Or you may have accessed, you know, more of your creative life force energy. So your body and your mind now have a memory of that. Mm-hmm. So we can call that in anytime we want. So I say to people, close your eyes and go back to that moment in your journey. Because you now have an embodied feeling of what that state of being feels like. So what we now need to do is practice that and make it bigger. So I call it inhabiting the space within. So calling it in, sitting in that moment, right, of joy or bliss or peace, and just allowing it to expand within you. And the more that we practice that, the more that we do that, the more it's available to us, until we finally sort of live in that space more often than we live in the other spaces.
And that's the space of magic.
That's the space of magic. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So embodiment is so important to the integration process. And so I'll also say to people, continue working with cacao. Bring it in as a daily practice. Or if they're working with plant medicine, I'll even say, drink cacao, right? It's easily accessible. You can make it on your own. It will support you. Right? It's, you know, it knows what it's doing. And then for some people, microdosing, you know, can be very beneficial as well, is to just sort of a little, you know, it doesn't take you to the same place that you were on your journey, but you just access that inner connection, right? And that's what you're looking for, is just accessing that inner connection so that you can be in that place again.
That's so beautiful. Okay, so the kind of last topic I wanted to ask you about was, you are a soul guide, and I would love to hear from you about what that really means. Why does our soul need guidance? Where do we need guidance to?
Our soul doesn't need guidance. We need to get out of our own way. So I'm really guiding people to their soul, right? Guiding people, because, you know, when we were children, like little children, we were like fully connected to our soul, right? To our joy, to our, you know, to all that, you know, that the beauty, the magic, right? We saw, for the most part, we saw the world in that way. And then guess what? You know, our family systems, our educational systems, you know, culture, friends, right? All of that started to weigh, you know, we started to take on, you know, these other belief systems and other ways of seeing. And then we can't see that way anymore. Now, it's never gone. Right? The soul kind of goes and hides and says, I'm here, I'm going to protect myself. You can't actually, the essence of who you are and your soul can never be touched. It's always pure. It's just we've layered all this other stuff on top of it. So, you know, what this work does is it just starts to peel back very, very gently, peel back those layers, right? And allows us to begin to access, you know, we need to open our hearts, first of all, and And we've so protected them against being hurt, right? But for us to know that love is our ultimate protection, right? Love is the state of being that we want to inhabit. So how do we live from that place? Be in our love, be in, you know, the light of, the pure light of our soul, right? So it's just this gentle work of like accessing and remembering, right? Because it's always there. And then there can be times where through, you know, trauma in our childhood, that a little piece of our soul has left us, right? In shamanism, we call that, you know, soul loss. Mm. And sometimes that happens. And so I may see, right, in a session with you, that there's, that your soul is, it's not gone, it's just gone over here, mm-hmm. right? So how do we bring that back? So we call that soul retrieval. We bring all pieces of you back to make you whole again. So it's really, yeah, it's just this gentle, beautiful work of remembering.
Beautiful.
And then listening, right? Mm. Listening to our soul's guidance.
There's something so beautiful that you said there, that we put on these protections on ourselves, but love is the ultimate protection.
Yeah.
That just really hit me, because it's so true. We think that not opening ourselves up is what's going to protect us, or these different mechanisms. Each one of us has our own way to try to protect ourselves, but in the end, it's just pushing others away. But love is the ultimate protection.
Right. Yeah. And it's infinite and always available. And when we fill ourselves with it, we actually, you know, it's not, you know, maybe protection is, you know, I'd like to reframe that into something, you know, perhaps even more positive, that love, like if we're sending love out from us, then nothing can touch the essence of who we are. Because we are love, and we can share it, and there's no scarcity to love, right? Love is abundant. And so when we can live from that place, and people feel it, right? They feel it when we're in our love and our light, and you know, and it means we then it's not that life suddenly becomes perfect. It means that we are open and available to all of life, which means we will feel everything. I mean, part of what I had to do in that initial journey with cacao was I had so shut down my ability to feel as a way of protecting my heart. So guess what? I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel sadness. I was in this numbed out place where life wasn't very bright or magical. And so when we can, it requires us, you know, then to access the full range of emotion, everything from sadness. In fact, if we can't feel sadness, we won't feel joy. And everything in between. So it's like being able to hold it all. Mm. Being able to hold it all. And to hold it just from this place of infinite love for ourselves. Right. This is about like being able to love ourselves unconditionally, and then be able to love the world unconditionally.
Wow. What is coming up for me is I want to be a loving being to every person that I encounter, and yet some people that I encounter or who I encounter don't act very lovingly to me. Or what I mean is that not every person that we encounter is going to meet us with love. And sometimes it's easy, we can just avoid those people, but sometimes it's not that easy and we can't avoid them. How do we show up lovingly to people who it's hard for us to do?
Mm. Yes. Yeah, it really comes down to seeing that it's not about you. They are deeply wounded in some way. Or perhaps you're triggering them in some way. But again, it comes down to perhaps, you know, they have, you know, we all have, you know, things that we carry that, you know, that trigger us, right? And that's usually comes somewhere from in our childhood where we were hurt. So we'll get triggered by something that feels and looks like that. And we may not even remember the original trigger or know that we are being triggered, right? So to know that person, to look at them with compassion and say they are deeply hurt. And so what's presenting to me, to you, right, is that. And they may present differently to other people, but it all has to do with, you know, however you are showing up for them. It's a projection. It's a projection of what they're feeling inside onto you. So for me, it's like just to be the compassionate witness, to just know that, you know, that they're holding that within them. And I'm simply going to be in my love and my light, no matter what they say or do to me. Because it can't affect me, right? The pureness of my soul, you know, once we've accessed that space within us, it's like nothing can hurt that. Mm-hmm. And it's theirs, right?
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, what I have found is the more loving that I am, and this doesn't mean allowing myself to be, you know, treated poorly, you know, it also comes with boundaries, and and the boundaries come from love, right? I can set a loving boundary, right? I can be discerning. I can, you know, find ways to express, you know, what I need to express so that I stay whole, right? And so that I can stay in that loving place. But all of that is modeling the behavior for that other person. And your energy, right, oftentimes can actually shift the energy of that other person as long as we stay in that loving place. Mm. And, you know, I've seen it happen where nothing else has changed except me and the way that I show up for that person and am just loving. And yeah, I mean, sometimes it requires a lot, right? A lot of patience, a lot of, you know, I have to sort of be in my highest self, right? And sometimes that gets exhausting and tiring. Like, it's not always easy, but that is my intention, is to stay in that place. And then what I love is when the other person shifts and I can see that shift, because they're now going, oh, Nicole's safe, or Nicole's not triggering me anymore, because they may realize on some level that they're just projecting something onto me, right? Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. And it's easier to stay in that place when you see the shift in others.
Hmm. I love that. It really comes back to cultivating that space inside ourselves and letting that emanate into the world.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Nicole, I feel like I could talk to you forever. So many more things to ask. Maybe we'll continue this, but for today, I'll just ask you, what are you curious about right now?
What am I curious about right now? Oh, I always feel like I'm such in a state of curiosity all the time, because that's, you know, that allows me to see the magic. And so for me, it's about maintaining that. And sometimes it eludes me sometimes. Like, you know, I was last year, actually, when I was in Baja, I got very sick. And I lost some of that, the ability to, I think, you know, my energy was pulled inward. And so I lost the ability to see the magic. And so for me right now, what I'm curious about is ensuring that I can always see the magic.
Mm.
And allowing myself to you know, nourish myself and make sure that my soul is nourished so that I don't get depleted and then I don't get sick, right? Because the work that I do can be very energetically draining if I'm not taking care of myself. So to be, you know, my curiosity is about staying curious, right? How do I make sure that I, you know, stay in that place of replenishing myself so that I can see the world with that way?
Yeah. That's beautiful. Nicole, I want to thank you so much for sharing from your wisdom, your experience, your beautiful insight. I can feel your presence all the way from across the world. And I'm truly honored and happy that we got to do this. So thank you.
Thank you, Elle. It was my pleasure, my honor to be here. So thank you so much. It was really wonderful.
Thank you. Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.